This is Charlie Kramer, 84, and it's recorded in June of 1973. Charlie was reluctant to walk to the lounge area at the Pioneer Home because, I think he just couldn't make it and he didn't want to, wouldn't resign himself to a wheelchair. So there is some background noise, which I regret. This recording was made in the hallway at the Pioneer Home.
She was here for a while.
I read a book recently about Klondike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She came back up here, I think, and bought a hotel or
no, in the States.
In the States?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she was in Fairbanks. What did she do here?
She's in dance hall.
Dance hall.
Mm-hmm.
Did Fairbanks have a lot of dance halls?
Yes, four. Four of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you, Charlie, was the big fire in 1906.
1906, yeah.
You were here then.
Uh-huh.
Did you help fight the fire? Or?
No. I'll tell you, this Dave Quartermarsh, as they're getting a shave and a haircut, And the fire started.
I tell you another character we had down there.
Oh.
What the hell did they call him now?
Where's that,
Fish,
Louis?
Fish. In Flat.
In Flat.
I did all. Bismarck. Bismarck, he was an old barkeeper from Dawson. Used to be.
You getting tired, Charlie?
No, excuse me a few minutes and I'll be back.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Let me help you.
Yeah, wait, Charlie, you going down there now?
No, he wants to go to his room.
Oh.
Want me to walk with him?
No, I'll
bring you. Then you take him.
Yeah, I'll watch.
Go with him. He'll have to fall down.
No, I think he wants to go back.
Oh. Bismarck, he was called on a witness in the court.
Yeah.
And there was a fellow with the name of Brown, they made him the judge. There's no regular judge, but they made their magistrate, they just voted for him. So, and Bismarck was to be a witness, a character witness to a guy. And they got him into court. Brown, judge says, Bismarck, you know this fella? He says, yes. What do you know about him? He says, he's no goed. He was a Hollander, that's the way he talked. He's no goed. He says, what do you mean? No good, you mean? Yeah. He's a no goed son of a bitch. And Brown said, Bismarck, this is a courtroom. I don't give a goddamn. He's a no-hood son of a bitch. So Bismarck was excused from any further testimony. And then Bismarck, he was also a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
And he was picked up for gambling in the pool hall.
You mean it was against the law to gamble in Flat?
Yeah, they all gambled, but they generally got them into jail a few days and let them out and took what money they had.
Yeah.
It was a racket. So they put Bismarck, he's supposed to come. The jail they had, they had no facilities just for sleeping. And you had to come back there 7 o'clock at night to be locked up, and they let you out in the morning. all day, so you could go to three times to a restaurant and get your meals.
Yeah.
So Bismarck, he got the gambling again before it was time to go to jail, but he was an hour late. And the jailer wouldn't let him in. He says, "You dirty old bastard," he says, "you go back where you come from and come back here in time if you want to get locked up." And he was going to sue the town because he had caught a cold during the night, sleeping in a chair in the saloon.
We were talking about the fire of 1906, and you said you were getting a shave and a haircut?
Yeah, this Dave Cordemarsh shop was right across the street. And if it started on the second story, and it was in the dentist's office, the fire started. And I've seen it right from the start. And it took all of First Avenue, Second, and the lower part of Third Avenue, clear from Cushman, or clear from the Turner Street, up to Noble.
Up to Noble, First and Second.
Later flat.
But the MC power plant, they saved that.
They saved that, yeah.
And the NC company.
It started.
Did it start right on Cushman?
Yeah, right on Cushman there. Yeah, there used to be a big two-story building there, run the whole length on Cushman. Yeah.
Well, when you saw the fire start, what'd you do?
Well,
you got out of the barber's chair.
Yeah.
Did you help fight the fire?
No. Well, there was no fighting. It's just a wild blaze, you know. And the city didn't have much fire protection then.
Well, speaking of fire protection, you used to have a fire truck out of your the dairy for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I can remember that going to fires out there. College area, Farmers Loop area.
In the city, they wouldn't go out of the city, you know. Yeah, one night we were fighting a fire up in the south end there, and here the city line was on one side, and where the fire was just across the line.
Yeah.
And the city fireman couldn't do a darn thing.
But you took your fire truck.
Yeah.
You are taking iron. That's what makes it.
I kept a list of them. I don't know whether I got it put away yet or not, all the fires we answered.
Oh, that would be a valuable list to
have. In there, isn't it? The first one.
That was your fire truck, was just a tank truck with
cage. No, it was I can't think of the name of it now.
But it carried a big tank of water.
Yeah, it carried the water, the pump. Yeah.
I remember when your house out there at the dairy caught fire.
Yeah.
Can't remember what year that was. It must have been about.
That was my son's house.
Your son's house. Do you still have any property out there at all, or did you dispose of all of your
everything?
Property?
Yeah. Yeah, the sawmill got some of the land, and Fish and Wildlife took most of it. And then Johnny Holm bought some of it.
Yeah. Their place looks nice.
Yeah.
They keep it
nice.
It's looking really nice.
Yeah.
But did the state Fish and Game, did they buy that field where the ducks and the geese come in? They own that. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad because that'll keep a nice green area there.
It will,
And it won't be filled up with won't be filled up with junky looking old buildings.
No, I said you don't.
He went after him, I think. It's his yard, so it should be giving him some corns to do.
I guess it's getting pretty close to lunchtime.
I don't know. I didn't look at the clock.
20 minutes after 11.
20 after 11. They'll be eating till 12.
Yeah. So you missed your dinner last night.
Yeah.
Did you sleep through?
No, I had my relatives were here. Well, they bring in a snack. So when I come back at 6:30, I had to give me some coffee and some snacks.
Well,
you don't have much appetite not working or doing anything.
Yeah. Well, and they take pretty good care of you here, too.
Oh, yes, they give you good care.
Food is concerned.
Yeah.
I always make certain that everyone is fed.
Oh, they just make sure you're getting them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, were you ever active in the Pioneers of Alaska?
No.
Pioneer Lodge? Uh-huh. You belong.
I belong to them, yeah.
But you've never been an officer?
No, I never had time.
Did you ever have time to join anything else?
Oh, I belonged to the Moose at one time and I quit them. The veterans. I just dropped out of that. On the dairy, you know, kept me busy and long hours and everything.
Well, how many cows did you normally milk? It depended on the population of the town.
110. Yeah.
Well, when you first started, this was all hand milking.
Yeah, it was all hand milking.
So when you first took over the dairy in 1928, how many helpers did you have around the farm?
Just one.
So you and he did all the milking?
Yeah. And the farm work. Mm-hmm. Then as things kept growing, and I started with 13 cows I'd bought from Hinckley.
13 cows?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, I bought him out. And 29, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then bought Busby out, and they had 19 head. And then there's some farms around here had 2, 3, and 4 head, mm-hmm. and I bought them out. Cleaned them all up, and there's just Bentley and I left.
Yeah. At the height of your, when you were milking the most cows at your dairy, How many did you milk?
Around 110.
110 at the time. Well, you had to have some help then.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, it took two milkers and a barn man. It took three to do the work then. Of course, I was in the milk house then. Because we went to pasteurizing,
yes.
And homogenizing.
Modernizing.
Yeah. Worried out by the time the people get it.
But you said when the farmhands finally decided they had to have breakfast before the cows got fed, that you decided to get a tractor.
Horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the horses got...
The old-time teamsters, they always got up and fed their horses, and then they'd come to breakfast. But it got so that they'd come to breakfast and then show the feet of the horses.
So you got your first gasoline tractor in
1934. Yeah.
And then did you get much more equipment at your farm after that?
Oh, yes. I followed up. Every year there'd be an improvement, you know, machinery. Mm-hmm. And so I'd ship it in. Yeah, I think that the last is running.
Now the water's running out of it.
Four tractors and two track tractors.
Track tractors.
I'm gonna take that little one down for her check and I'll bring it.
Well, your son Donald has a family here.
Yeah.
So, how many grandchildren do you have?
Seven.
Seven? And some of your grandchildren are married now, aren't they?
No.
No?
No.
Do most of them live here in Fairbanks?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's two of them been married.
Two married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do they live in the Fairbanks area?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have any of your grandchildren gone into farming?
Mm-hmm.
No? Farming is a pretty tough business in the town of Alvin these days.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah, when you can fly in produce.
Yeah, that's what put us out of business. They could bring it in cheaper than we could produce it here, you know. Well, I've been at it long enough and old enough it's time to quit anyway.
Yeah, well, you've worked hard all of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been outside recently in the last few years?
No, I haven't been out since 40.
Since 1940?
Mm-hmm.
That's 33 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know nobody out there.
Nothing to go for?
Nothing to go for.
I think your nephew, Bill,
yeah,
resembles you quite a bit.
He does?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill's a pretty nice boy.
Yes, he is. And he had, Bill has had a brother, Ed, who died last summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his sister.
And Marianne.
Marianne, they call her Sis.
Yeah.
And her last name is?
Weeks.
Weeks. Like Weeks Field?
Yeah.
Weeks, yeah. One person, you know, at the Pedro Monument dedication at Golden Days time when Elk Busby was talking about farmers.
Yeah.
He didn't mention Mike Yankovich. He must have forgotten Mike.
Yeah.
But did you know Mike pretty well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What did he farm mostly? Did he do vegetable farming? Or
vegetable farming, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone told me one time he's a pretty good whiskey maker, too.
Yeah, well, when they're dry.
During Prohibition?
Yeah, Prohibition. Yeah.
Hello, Vera.
Hello.
Am I? Yeah, I can't remember who was telling me about it, but he would come to town with a load of potatoes. He'd have some moonshine underneath the load of potatoes.
Yeah, sure.
We live pretty close to where Mike's farm was. It's a muskox farm now at the university.
Yeah, they take them over.
Yeah. That's where they have the muskox now.
They go over there. I remember when it went dry, you know, that little bridge there on the College Road, Isabel Creek.
Yes.
That little bridge there, and she went dry away. This Frank Miller. had 6 barrels of whiskey underneath that bridge all winter.
Is that right?
That's quite a rig, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe goes to... That was Joe Mockler.
What's his name?
Joe Mockler.
Mockler.
And he seldom misses a pioneer meeting.
He does.
He goes almost every time.
He does.
I think Harold Bird or someone from the pioneers comes over here and picks him up.
Picks him up, huh?
Anybody who wants to go, they come over and pick him up. Take him.
Is he, has he been around Fairbanks long?
Yeah. He worked at the university.
Oh, out there. Huh?
Yeah.
I know I'd seen him, you know, and I couldn't place.
At the university.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that's. He gets all over the place in that.
Yeah.
When he goes to the pioneer meetings, they come in a van, and then they can put the wheelchair patients, they can just put right in there, just roll them up in there. There, you know, Dick Palmer lives down across the hall from me. Uh-huh. He goes every meeting. And Joe.
Uh-huh.
So, and they enjoy it. They see their friends there. So they enjoy it. So. Well, do you remember anybody else who was, we were talking about bootlegging during Prohibition days.
Yeah.
Were there any big bootleggers here in Fairbanks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't go dry.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you think out there where Ernie Gilbert is?
Mm-hmm.
They were still there working. And then a bunch of them had it still up on the salt shed. Oh, they're still all over.
Yeah.
Even Hankley's. She used a 3-gallon milk can and made a still out of it.
Well, Charlie, I think I've bothered you long enough this time.
Yeah.
So I'll let you go.
Yeah.
It's almost lunchtime.
What do you do with this now?
This is just for the Tanana Yukon Historical Society.
Oh, sorry.
We wanted to talk to some of the people like you who came here in the early days.
Yeah.
And to get your recollections of what happened and what the town looked like. And some of the events in Fairbanks.
I belonged to them at one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe this fall when they start meeting again, you could come and talk to them a little bit, if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
About, hello, Joe.
Hello, Mark. Don't forget to close out the private.
That would be fun to have you and Elk Busby come and talk about farming.
Yeah, I noticed he missed a couple of them.
Yeah, he missed, that's what I heard. I noticed that he missed Mike Yankovic.
Yeah, and missed the Golden Kid.
The Golden Kid?
Going
Kid.
Uh-huh.
What was his name?
Frank Going.
Oh, Frank Going.
Yeah, he used to, they call him the Golden Kid. He took the mail and carried the newspapers from here to Fairbanks Creek. 30 miles, you go out one day and back the next. You go again. And then there's another fella, they call him Schweitzer. He worked for Gould's Dairy. And,
Gould's Dairy?
Yeah, you know, Gould's Dairy. And them days while you go, the milk coming up. You go around with a 3-gallon can and a quart measure. And so he's quite a character. They keep half drunk and he get up on the bar and he's jig, you know, singing, raise heck. And so them days they had these little anchovies. for a snack on the bar. And so somebody dumped a little anchovies in his milk can. And Mrs. Souter, they were jewelers here. He's pouring out this quart of milk for her. Here comes the fish. Oh, he says, my God, Mrs. He says, the can got too deep in the river last night, I guess.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it really did happen.
That's a nice one, too.
Well, I'm gonna let you go back to your room and rest a little while before lunch, and then I'll pack up my gear and get out of here. But I really did appreciate your taking the time, and maybe I can come back someday when we have a little more time and talk some more.
That's all I got is time.